I get invited and get to fill the pulpit here. And our sweet pastor has asked me to tell you that Mark and Doug did a great job serving our Lord in a foreign land this past week. They're back from their missionary journey, and Pastor is taking a much-needed vacation with Miss Brenda. So keep them in your prayers, won't you, as they take a few minutes and get away and relax and try to have some downtime. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. We'll launch from there and keep your Bibles this morning open, okay? Got a lot of verses to get to, a lot of different texts to get to. That's why our Lord gave us fingers, amen? We can hold our place in the Bible. Somebody say amen. While you're finding your way, let me just say, and as a matter of personal address to the group, Louise and I appreciate your expressions of sympathy in recent months. We appreciate your prayer for us. We are in a season of sorrow. Louise's daddy died in late May, my mother in June, my brother-in-law recently, and my cousin. And I got to be part of all four of those services, singing or preaching. And so I'm glad to be able to serve our Lord in that way. I told somebody when they asked me how I was getting through that, that I've been an ordained minister of the gospel for 26 years. I've preached and taught that His grace is sufficient for all things. And now the Lord has given me ample time to live that faith. And so by His grace, I've been able to do that. But I'll tell you, one way the Lord shows us His grace is through our church family. Isn't that right? It's wonderful that you all have kept us in your prayers. And many of you have had written expressions of sympathy and concern, and we appreciate that as well. If I look a little tired, it's because I was out in public gallivanting with the fifth and sixth graders of North Fairfield Baptist Church last night over at some family farm over here that I go to at Christmas time for the walk through the Bible. Well, they do something in the fall too, and had a corn maze and had a wonderful, wonderful time. Grandparents, after the service, I'll meet you in the back and give you a full report about how your kids behave in public. Amen. I want to speak today on this subject, beloved. How to overcome the fear of man. How to overcome the fear of man. Now, when I say man, I mean humankind. When you see in the scripture man, it means humankind. You and I are fearful of humankind more often than we care to admit. And if you think I'm wrong, you just remember this moment in time, the next time you stay silent and not speak up for the Lord. We're going to be looking through a lot of scriptures today. I usually mark those ahead of time and tell you to turn. I get to it, but I've not done that this morning, so I'll be thumbing through it as well. There's no greater sound, by the way, than God's people thumbing through the scripture, looking for the verse. But we launch today at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. And those who are able now, if will you stand in the presence of our Lord for the reading of the infallible, inerrant Word of God. So we say boldly, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remembering those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcomes of their conduct. Jesus Christ, the same when... Let's try it again. Jesus Christ, the same when?
Yesterday.
And when?
Today.
And when?
Forever.
And may God bless unto us the reading of His Word. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we're thankful for this opportunity to worship you in the beauty of holiness. And we're just trusting for the next few minutes, Lord, you've got our heart. Not distracted, not fearful, but faithful. Now, Lord, make a way as only you can make a way, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus. Bless this proceeding, Lord God. Fill me, won't you, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Use me for the welfare of my brothers and sisters in Jesus and for your glory. Let me, Lord, preach in perfect liberty to the glory of God the Father. And Lord, for any and all who are distracted, sure enough, who've come only because you've orchestrated their events in their lives, for those who are here this day whose heart aches, for those who are here this day whose body is wearing out, for those who are here this very day, Lord, touch them. Give them healing. Grant them a testimony. And let their countenance reflect Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to give you a head start. Our next stop is Genesis 12. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12 is where we're headed next. You thought the Lord gave you fingers for all those rings. Amen. He gave you fingers to hold your place in the Bible. Isn't that right? I want to thank our Lord and our sweet, sweet pastor for the opportunity to preach God's Word. Pastor loves you, and we love Pastor. And how about these new guys? I say we keep them. Amen? Glad the Lord sent them. How about it? It's wonderful. Dwayne, we're grateful your kid has his mother's talent. God's good that way, isn't that right? Perhaps, at least for me, beloved, all of the descriptions that could ever be said about Satan, the one that is most distressing to me is the one that describes Satan as a roaring lion, seeking to strike fear in your heart and seeking to strike fear in my heart. You see, I believe fear, either on a personal fear level or a future fear level, or the fear of man, humankind, is one of the devil's greatest weapons to keep us from being the people that God created us and the Lord Jesus Christ saved us to be. I believe that fear can be so very, very crippling in the sight of God. Now, it's always a battle, the fear of man. It has some national implications, if you will. You and I are functioning these days in a politically correct culture. That politically correct crowd wants to silence God's people on the moral issues of this day. We're not allowed to speak about abortion too often in the workplace without repercussions. Same-sex marriage or living together, cohabitating. By the way, if you're living together and you're not married and you're playing house, you can call it anything you want it to call it, but God calls it sin. I won't judge that, but God's Word and God does judge that. But let me just say this to you. When I counsel young people when they come for marriage and I find out they're cohabitating, you and I work with people like that. You know people in your family that are doing that. Seniors sometimes do that because they'll lose a pension if they marry him after all, or lose a pension if they marry her after all. Listen, God says that's not the way I God intended. 87% of all who cohabitate, even with the intention of marriage, fail in their relationship. It's not a car. You don't try it out first. You just trust Jesus. Fear. And we live in one of those politically correct societies. Where can we talk about those kind of things? In our circle of friends? Well, sometimes, but don't we get a little fearful? We don't want to offend anybody. In the workplace? Well, yeah, but not without repercussion sometimes. And I believe that through fear and imitation, this old culture you and I live with wants us to put our light under the bushel and not show it for Jesus. But the fear of man not only has national implications, it has some personal implications as well. The fear of man impacts you. The fear of man impacts and affects you. And so today I want to speak about the fear of man at a personal level. And here's the key. The fear of man is indeed a serious thing. And in our walk with God, one of the dangers and one of the perils, I'm going to use the word peril today, P-E-R-I-L, it just means danger or a place of danger. One of the dangers or one of the perils you and I face in humankind and in our society and in our culture is the fear of man. And the Word of God says it's a snare. What's a snare? I'm not a hunter. What's a snare, Hunter? It's a trap. In fact, the Word of God reminds us in Proverbs 29 and 25 that the fear of man, listen, brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. How about that? For you see, beloved, you may find yourself confronted with a situation and may make the wrong choice, and you may then sin against God because of the fear of man. And the devil knows how to punch your fear buttons. Yes, one of the dangers, one of the perils of the fear of mankind or humankind is that, number one, it may cause you to disobey God. On your in bulletin insert where it says nurse notes, write that down. Number one, you may disobey God. And what's the Word of God say about it? Turn to Genesis 12. Verse 10. Genesis 12 and 10. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, "Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live." Verse 13. "Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you." So it was when Abram came to Egypt, and the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. In verse 18, "And Pharaoh called Abram and said, 'What is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife?'" Now, our first illustration from God's Word this morning is the life of Abraham. Why, he was a godly man. All the pastors in this room, and there are several of us, couldn't even tie his shoes. But the Word of God says that a godly man wanting his wife to lie, let the fear of man cause him to sin against God. Have you ever done that? Have you ever let your loved one tell a lie in your behalf? Because you feared the consequence of man? Have you ever lied because you feared man? The one that our Lord called, the one that our Lord used in his economy, Abraham, did just that. And my friends, if he can do it, you and I can do it. And that's a peril. That's a danger. Teenager, we understand about peer pressure. Office worker, we understand about your peer pressure. Everyone in this room, we understand the political correctness, the run amok culture that we live in. And all of it may cause us to fear man and disobey God if we let the fear of man have a place in our heart. Abraham, a godly man, feared humankind, asked his wife to lie. But perhaps that's not even the saddest account in God's Word about the fear of man causing people to sin against God. Find Numbers chapter 13, because we can look at the nation of Israel. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. 13. I got the idea for this message from our Lord, but when? When Pastor Matt hit a great lick on it on Sunday night. By the way, if you're not getting here on Sunday nights for preaching of God's Word, you're missing a blessing. Just saying. Just saying. Teresa writes great sermons. Amen, Matt? Hebrews 13. Look over in 30, verse 30 and 31. First of all, let's get the idea here behind this piece of the scripture. One, two. Remember, the spies were sent out. Remember, God had promised the land of Canaan, the promised land, if you will. God told Joshua, every place you put your foot down, every place your footsteps is going to be given to you. But the spies came back. The committee came back and gave a bad report. My, my. May we always listen to God and not the committee and the spies. Look at verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But when men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that..." Listen, look, listen to what it says. "It devours its inhabitants and all the people whom we saw. In it are men of great stature." In other words, talking about giants. "There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the giants. And we were like," here it is, "grasshoppers in our own sight." So we were there, what's it say? "So we were in their sight." In other words, they saw themselves as grasshoppers in the eyes of these big, big people, and they felt like those people saw them as grasshoppers, and they come back and give a bad report. Why was it a bad report? Because the Lord had already promised the land to them. Who were they fearful of? Humankind. Who were they not trusting? Our Lord. So the fear of mankind caused them to disobey God and wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Listen, the Lord will let you get it right, won't He? He may just put you right on up on the shelf. You haven't left Numbers yet, have you? Look at Numbers 14. Look at verse 8. Joshua and Caleb encouraged them instead. They compelled them not to rebel and disobey God, because they were reminding them that the battle is the Lord's. So my question today for you is this: what has the Lord called you to? Don't fear humankind. If God's called you, He'll fight the battle for you. Young person, are you listening? It doesn't matter if mom and dad aren't comfortable with you going to the mission field. If God's called you there, He'll provide for you. He'll fight the battle. Are you here today and you've been called to preach? Then preach. God will make a way for you to preach. It doesn't matter what Aunt Nellie says. Fellas, it's tough, but it doesn't even matter what your wife says. You want your wife with you, and if she sees you living in faith, she'll step out with you. Don't be fearful. Look what verse 8 and 9 says. This is Caleb and Joshua. The Lord delights in us. Then He will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only, here it is, here's the warning: do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the who? People of the land, for they are our bread. In other words, the modern day translation of that is, it's a cakewalk. Why? Because God's ordained it. Hey! Anything our Lord ordains is a cakewalk for you and for me. Now, some of you are being very silent here today, and you have forgotten a couple of things. One, you'll never hear a message from me that doesn't first preach to me. And number two, I always ask for your help. So if you're under conviction, good. I've been way under conviction preparing this message. But we need to help in the message. So the fear of man will cause us to sin against God and disobey our Lord, and the fear of man caused Abraham to do that, and the fear of man caused the nation of Israel to do that. But I suspect the most tragic illustration is that of Peter. I'm going to refer to this fellow a couple of times today. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. I believe that's in the New Testament, is it? Matthew chapter 26. The most tragic illustration of the fear of man causing somebody to disobey God may very well be Peter. When he denied the Savior, Peter flat out lied. Matthew chapter 26. Look at verse 69. Now Peter, Matthew 26, verse 69. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, You also were with Jesus of Galilee. See, they're out there accusing him now. Now look what he says. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. Verse 71. When he got out of the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also is with Jesus of Nazareth. In other words, no matter where he goes, he stands by the fire, somebody's hitting him with it. He goes out in the gate, somebody's hitting it with him. Look what he says here. But again he denied and took an oath and said, I do not know the man. And then a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Then the word of God says, verse 75, "So he went out and wept bitterly." Now, I usually teach that text about how failure is not fatal. So let me just divert for a quick minute, chase one quick rabbit, I promise I'll get it back in the hat. Failure is not fatal. If you're here today and you failed at something or anything, that's okay. Our Lord does not make that a fatal thing in your life. He wants to restore you. He wants you to repent. He wants you to live a full and abundant life in Christ Jesus. He restored Peter later, and we'll see that in just a moment. Failure is not fatal. But for the purposes of this lesson this morning, we see that Peter feared the repercussions of knowing Jesus Christ. And the fear of man is an awesome danger. It will cause you to disobey God. And we know all the pressure that you and I live in our secular world. And we know that all the pressure you and I live, and Satan is the ruler of darkness, wants to keep this world topsy-turvy. Why, friends, the Satan will make sure that things in this culture these days that are right are called wrong, and things that are wrong are called right. And everyone is doing what's right in their own eyes. And so when you and I, listen, take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, for what is godly, listen, for what is moral, listen, for what is right in the sight of the Lord, you and I are going to be intimidated by the fear of humankind. And in this old world, the fear looms large. But not only does the fear of man cause you to disobey, number one, but it will also cause you to compromise your convictions, number two. So write that down right where it says notes. One, the fear of man will cause you to disobey God. But number two, it will cause you to compromise your convictions. And the reason we will compromise our convictions is because we want the approval of mankind more than what we want the approval of God. How many times, beloved, have you compromised your convictions? Well, you say, not often. I'm a person of purpose. Well, good. But have you ever stayed silent when you needed to speak up? What about Peter? Do you remember how Paul confronted Peter? Recorded for us in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. "Now when Peter had come into Antioch," Paul said, "I withstood him to his face." In other words, went directly to him. "I withstood him to his face because he was to blame." Now get the picture here. Peter was eating with the Gentiles. Peter was having fellowship with the Gentiles. Peter was even going as far as telling and teaching the Gentiles that they did not have to live under Jewish rites and rituals. Yet he withdrew and separated himself from the crowd out of fear. The fear of man let Peter compromise his convictions. And verse 12 of Galatians 2 said, "Fearing those who were of the circumcision." My friends, understand this. Fear is a terrible thing. Now, you and I may have some personal fears in our life, and the devil may come against us just like that, and that's very real. But I assure you, he will come against you regarding your convictions. Listen, don't do it. Don't compromise your convictions. "Well, I bought it from this guy, but I'm not even going to title it my name. I'll just put it in your name," and that's jumping a title. avoiding paying taxes, compromising your conviction, sinning before a holy God. Just this once I'll give in to that pleasure. Don't do it. Don't compromise your conviction. Now fear will let us do that. But you don't have to. God will make a way for you. And really, He will make a way. There are two verses, I think, in Scripture that will capture God's addressing the fear of man that will cause us to compromise our convictions and to seek the approval of man more than God. And one can be found in John chapter 12, verse 42. John 12 and 42, there's an awesome warning for you and for me in God's Word in John 12 and 42. Even among the rulers, the Word of God says, many believed in Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him. And then John 5 and 44, more concerned with the approval of man than God, John 5 and 44. How can you believe who received honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? My friends, the danger of the fear of man, seeking the approval of man, and that being your desire, is that the praise of man means something more to you than the praise of God. We all admire Joseph of Arimathea for an example. The one who was providing a tomb for our Lord to be laid and buried. Yet the Word of God said everything he did regarding that was in secret because he feared man. John 19 and 38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, John 19 verse 38, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, look, here it is, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. Do you get the idea throughout Scripture? There are examples replete of humans being fearful of other humans. Of humans seeking the approval of mankind over seeking the approval of God. Do you get the idea there? This just isn't something that plagues you and me. It plagues all of humankind. That's why it's fallen man. It's sin. And Satan is like a roaring lion. He may come after you with personal fears, but he will come after you to compromise your convictions and the approval of humankind more than God. And you need to be careful. Plain and simple. So now here's the question. How do you overcome the fear of man? And now we're to our outline. Amen. Now here's what you start plugging in. This is the application. Write it down. It'll be helpful to you. You'll see it. You hear it. You've written it down. Number one. How do you overcome the fear of man? Well, number one, you fear God. You fear God. You fear God. You let the fear of God overrule the fear of man. Now, I'm not talking about being afraid of our Lord God. I'm talking about being aware instead of living a life that's in the presence of a holy God, that every thought, that every word, and that every deed is open before Him and will be judged by Him. Matthew 10 and 28, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You remember Peter and the disciples after Pentecost? After Pentecost, the disciples were what? They were tried to be silenced, weren't they? They were arrested, weren't they? They were imprisoned, weren't they? They tried to silence them. Just like the day that comes when you and I are going to be silenced. Now listen, we're living in a culture, we're living in a society, we're living in a world where if you speak against abortion as it's murder, if you speak against same-sex marriage If you speak about against man and women cohabitating, if you do any of that now, you're nearly silenced. I was encouraged this week, weren't you? When some of the kids down in Texas were able to keep their scripture references on their banners for the ball game. Isn't that right? Did you catch any of that in the news? Boy, we don't have enough of that, do we? Cheerleaders, pom-pom girls, wanting to put God's word on a banner and take it to a ball game. Hallelujah. Judge upheld it. Free speech. You and I need to fear God more than we fear man. And the fear of our Lord is that we live in a holy presence of a holy God. And our very thought, our very word, and our very deed is laid bare in front of Him. Well, does God have some scripture for us about it? Sure does. I'm glad you asked. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 4. Let's start at verse 13. By the way, I have a heading right here on this piece of the passage. My heading says, "The name of Jesus forbidden." Does anybody else have a heading on theirs? Say it out loud. Say it again. Yeah. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Why did Pastor go to school and get his credentials? Why is Pastor Matt going to school and get his credentials? Why did I go to school and get my educational credentials and get educated beyond my intelligence? By the way, for me, that happened after I left grade school. You understand? Because we're not walking with Jesus like these fellows walked with Jesus. The crowd perceived that these fellows were uneducated, but they also realized they were with Jesus. Now, the ones I just named here today, Pastor Matt, myself, others, we're walking closer to the Lord than we ever have before. But look what it says. They realized they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with him, they could say nothing against it. We're getting to the place where we're discussing being fearful of God more than being fearful of man. Stick with us. It's coming right up. But when they commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evidence to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. And so it spreads no further among the people. Let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine that, Matt? Dwayne, can you imagine that? Never able to preach again and not in the name of Jesus? Hey, listen, we don't have religion. We have a relationship with a holy God through faith and trust in Jesus. So I don't want to appear insensitive or disrespectful of other religions. But you know what religion will do? Religion will take you straight to hell. Religion never saved the first soul. The only one that saved the soul is Jesus. So you and I don't have religion, beloved. We have a relationship with God through faith and trust in Jesus. And here's the good news. He wants to have a relationship with you. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus, you can come and you don't have to fear man. And it doesn't matter what you think your husband will think. And it doesn't matter what you think your wife will think. You can just come on and get saved. And you don't get saved by walking the aisle of a Baptist church. You get saved by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. And can you imagine what it would be like never to be able to preach again in the name of Jesus. Don't say this doesn't have national implications, the fear of humankind. We're about to go to the ballot box and cast our vote. I wouldn't dare tell you who to vote for. But Peter and John, verse 19, chapter 4, Acts. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. You judge. For we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard." How do you overcome the fear of humankind? You fear God before over fearing man. You fear God more than you fear man. And if you start telling people what to do in the sight of the Lord, they might just say to you, like these fellows said to them, "You be the judge of that, but we can't help but do what we've seen and what we've heard, and we're going to preach it." They put the fear of the Lord, recognizing they were in the presence of a holy God, and that everything they would do, and everything that they would say, and every thought that they would occur would be open before the Lord and be judged by a holy God. Imagine what it would be like. But that brings us to number two then. Number one, if we're going to fear God and let the fear of God overrule the fear of man, then number two, we better rely, write it down, on the power of the Holy Spirit. Rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you overcome the fear of man? You rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. You pray for boldness. They were bold. And friends, it is the power of the Holy Spirit that gave them boldness and empowered the disciples, and as the Holy Spirit will do the same for you today. And you'll be able to stand tall in the saddle and tell everybody in the workplace and all your circles of friends and all your non-believing relatives that we cannot but speak for the things that we have seen and heard. Remember, when somebody pops off at holiday time this year and you know that's against what God's Word teaches, don't be afraid to speak up for the Lord, because silence is perceived as agreement. There's always some knucklehead in the family or a friend that comes and makes one of those bonehead statements that's not even close to the things of the Lord. And we don't want to upset the apple cart. It's the holidays. You can speak in love. You can speak in truth. You can speak redemptively and stand tall for Jesus. But how? How do you overcome that fear? You rely on the Lord. You just rely on the Lord. The power of the Holy Spirit. Number three, you develop the passion to please God rather than be intimidated by man. We're still in Acts. Take a look at Acts chapter 5. Move on down to 27. Acts 5 and 27. "And when they brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us.' But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than who? Men. We ought to obey God rather than men.'" Well, folks, remember this, that the early church lived in a hostile climate like we do. And if you don't think I'm right, just read back and think about it. Every disciple died a martyr's death, and every one of them was killed because of their faith. How do you overcome the fear of man? By choosing to obey God or by choosing to obey man? You obey God. You rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. You develop the passion to please God rather than be intimidated by man. Number four, you obey God. Verse 29. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. In other words, we're to take God at His word, folks. We're to trust Him. That's how you overcome the fear of man. You choose to obey God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit and the boldness that comes from the presence of God, you can overcome the fear of man, and we can be light, and we can be salt, and we can be bold, and we can be courageous, and we can speak the truth in love, and we can speak and react redemptively. If we just trust Him, take Him at His word. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise. Just to hear, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him, o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. How do you overcome the fear of man? You fear God. You rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. You develop the passion to please God rather than be intimidated by man. You obey God and take Him at His word. And then our last one, be confident of the presence of God in your life. Confident of the presence of God in your life. There's a hero of the faith, a great father of the faith, a martyr for Jesus of another era named Polycarp. Polycarp was put to death. He was burned at the stake. Polycarp was told that we will spare your life if you'll just renounce Christ. And the Polycarp quote was, I regret that I have but one life to give for my Lord. Bible has something to say about that too. So those of you who've zipped it up, unzip it again. You didn't think I heard that, did you? Psalm 27. Listen, I never go too long. I always quit when I'm finished. Psalm 27. I'm almost finished, so hang in there. Psalm 27. Sound familiar, verses 1 and 3? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may be encamped against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. How do you overcome the fear of man? You become confident in the presence of God in your life. Look at verse 14 of the same psalm. Verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. All right, here's our last reference. Somebody say amen. Find Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. talking about being confident in the presence of God in your life. Isaiah 41, verses 10 and following. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteousness, my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. Look at that. Those who were incensed with you will be disgraced and shamed. God says they'll be like nothing if you'll just let Him have His way with you and be confident of His presence. They will be like nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, shall be as what? Nothing. As a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not. I will help you. My friends, why should you and I ever let the fear of man keep us from what God wants us to be? Because as I mentioned at the start of the message, Proverbs 29 and 25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. So today, let you and I agree. We'll not back up. We'll not shut up. But in the name of Jesus, based on the Word of God, in the spirit of love, let us speak up and not be afraid of mankind. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed as we pray and musicians make their way. Our Lord and our God, we're trusting you every step of the way. There are some here this day, Lord, that have decisions to be made, no doubt. And they've been a little fearful. Their knees are knocking. But they want to stand bold for you. Today, Lord, there are some who are going to rely on you. They're going to be confident in your presence. They're going to trust you. They're going to obey you, Lord God, over humankind. You know who they are, Lord. I would ask that you'd have your way with them. And Lord, I pray at this very moment for anyone who doesn't know you in a personal way, one who's not had a relationship through faith and trust in Jesus with you, that they may come for salvation. Still, Lord, if they're here and they know you, but they've been walking at a guilty distance, let them come for renewal this day in boldness, not fearful of man, but obeying you. And still, Lord, there may be some who need to obey and join this sweet fellowship. You know their needs. Work on their heart. Draw them to you through faith and trust in Christ Jesus. This we pray. Amen.